As we were praying this morning, I just became so aware of the expanse. You know, if you look at creation, and Louis Giglio does that quite well, in that, you know, he explains to us how the expanse and everything that God is, you know, is made, and he's always sort of looking for something different, isn't he? To show God's glory out of the expanse. And I just became so aware that the God who created the earth and the heavens and everything that's in it, the powerful majesty of the King of Kings, that God dwells in me. Now, I don't know if that blows your mind, but it does mine. To think that the God who formed everything, and then, you know, we can take it to our own bodies and think of our own bodies and how intricately we've been woven together, how God has taken the time to shape and form us in such detail. It blows my mind. You know that, you know, sometimes I don't like myself, but my Father likes me. You know that Psalm says He wove me, He put me together in my mother's womb, and He's so passionate about me. And He loves me so much. And yet He made everything. He keeps this earth going. If He's not there, we're dead, man. Everything goes to, it will go pear shape. Literally. Maybe the earth will deform. And I don't know where you'll find yourself this morning, but this song, this Isaiah song was so powerful, and I just realized that, you know, sometimes we find ourselves in a place where it's terrible. You know, you've been praying, you've been trusting, you've been pushing in, and it seems like there's no breakthrough coming. It seems like, you know, this is me. I have to live like this for the rest of my life. And then God says, but I am the river in that desert. I think sometimes we must just allow God to be a river in us. Where we, by wanting to cling to my desert experience, Lord, I'm in a desert. I feel so far from you. Let him be the rain. Where all you see is ashes, let him bring life. Let him bring the joy. Don't look to what you see around you. That's a lie. Yes, I know on this side of heaven that's our reality, but it's still a lie. Because he is the river. And I guess the question is, would I be willing to trust him? To be that river in me? To let go of my desert experience? To let go of my hurt? To let go of the circumstances? And you know, when you let go, it doesn't necessarily disappear. But you need to let go. So that is a good intro for where I want to go this morning. And I just want to say this, you know, since the SOS weekend, I can sense that there's this gentle rain of the Holy Spirit just keep falling on us. Now, we live in Cape Town. What happens when rain keeps on falling? And what happens when the ground is saturated? There's moeilikheid. You know, when I moved down from Potchefstroom many moons ago, it was one of the strangest things to come here and find all these stormwater drains in homes. And I was like, what's this about? But apparently, and we haven't seen this for a long time, when that proper Cape Town rain starts falling, that fine rain that falls and 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 the ground gets saturated. And then stuff happens. And the water has got nowhere to go. And if you don't have a drain in your house, it becomes moeilikheid. But here's the thing. And the same for me, you know, in what God has done in us and in this congregation. And as that rain is falling, let's not keep it in. Let's not bottle it up. Let those rivers start flowing. You want to grow spiritually in your gifts and in the power of God? then step out in faith. You go to work every day. Trust God to do something. So, I want to read this morning Ezekiel 36, and maybe I could just give some context. So is in Ezekiel 36, the nation finds themselves in exile. They've been taken captive. They are on a land that's not their own. It's not a nice place to be. And maybe, like I said, you find yourself in that space this morning that, hey, I wish I was somewhere different. Like an island or something. You know, where the palm trees are waving and there's like a drinks that you can drink. And everything is fine. Nothing is wrong. Now, the Israelites find themselves in this space where they are in exile. Now, none of us have been in exile. I'm not going to ask who's been in prison. But I think that's the closest we get these days, is that you get taken captive and put somewhere. Okay, you were probably stupid in what you did, but you get put in prison. All right, so. And then God comes to them. You know, isn't it awesome that it doesn't matter where we find ourselves, when God comes, something happens. Like when that river comes, life comes. Okay, and then God comes and He speaks to them. He says, for years, what I'm going to do. And I love that. He's almost saying, hey, listen, I don't need you to do anything. Okay, I just want you to chillax. Here's what I'm going to do. Tap someone, say, this is what God's going to do. Huh? For here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you out of these countries. Whoa, and the Israelites went, yes, freedom is coming. Now, like most of us, when that word comes, we think it's tomorrow. Yeah. Nah? When the Lord says, listen, I'm going to use you mightily, you think, I'm going to wake up with a supernatural anointing, I'm going to hear God, I'm going to prophesy and everything. And then you wake up and nothing changed. Was that just me? You know, you get this prophetic word, you word the SOS, you received incredible encouragement, and you woke up the next morning going, so where's the anointing, Lord? Huh? And I think they did the same. You know, it's like, we're going to take you out of these countries. And they started packing their bags. Right? And it says, gather. Let me read it again. I'm going to take you out of these countries. Gather you from all over and bring you back to your own land. Good promise. I will pour water over you and scrub you clean. Excuse me, Lord. I don't think I'm dirty. But God says, I'm going to pour water over you and scrub you clean. And I love this, the Message version, just by the way. It puts it nice and clear. I'll give you a new heart. Put a new spirit in you. I'll remove the stone heart from your body and replace it with a heart that's God-willed, not self-willed. I will put my spirit in you and make it possible for you to do what I tell you and live by my commandments. You'll once again live in the land I give your ancestors. You'll be my people. I'll be your God. Now, who can agree with me here? If you are in exile, if you are in a difficult situation, even like the Isaiah song, this is a good word to receive from the Lord. That He's coming, He's going to take you out of the situation, and He's going to put you in this place back where His promises are. You know, the land of your ancestors, I'm going to take you back to this country. I think for them, in their context, they are in exile. They are hurt. They've lost many people. Many have died. And then this word comes. It might almost be too good to be true. How do I believe this word? that the Lord is saying. And sometimes we have that response when the prophetic word of God comes to us, when the scripture, when God speaks to us through his word, then we sometimes have that, yeah, but how's this going to work? Kind of attitude. But you see, here's the thing. He said, here's what I'm going to do. You're not supposed to pack your bags yet. Slow down. The truth is, even if they get to the country, they cannot go back to how things used to be. So we had an interesting 2 years. First time in a long time, we can see one another. Is everything going to be the same than what it was before? We cannot go back to that. You know what I want to say to us? In this last 2 years, God has shaped us and molded us in ways that he never could if it wasn't for the pandemic. God has stirred in us faith and expectation, maybe. Maybe he's taken you through a valley to deal with some stuff in your life to prepare you for what's coming. You know, if you went through the valley, I'm really sorry. If you're maybe still in that valley, I'm really sorry. But James still says, blow up the balloons, gooi a party, you have a trial. Invite some friends over, let them pray with you. And trust God to break through. To get to the place where you're sitting around the table with him and having supper in the presence of your enemies. You see, God brings a word that changes their perspective. It changes the fact that they find themselves in exile. They say, listen, can I just show you another picture? He says to them, I'm going to change your future. How many of you have promises of a future? How many of you believe scripture that God says, I have a future for you and a hope? Amen. In a country that's funky, in a world that is demakar, he says, listen, I have a plan for you. Do you believe it? Because if you believe it, your life will show it. You're not going to live like a defeated person or someone who's terrible. You see, where they are is not changing. Who they are changes. Where they are is not changing. God comes to them in exile, in a place of captivity, slavery, no steak, terrible food because it's being, you know, have you ever watched the movies The Slob? I can just see that. Prison food. You see, when you're in exile, your captor doesn't think anything about you. They don't care about you. Whether they're good or bad, wherever you are living, they're not bothered about it. So their circumstances is not changing. But God speaks to their heart. And he speaks life into that heart. And not the circumstances doesn't change, but they change. And maybe there are people sitting here this morning and you need to change. You need to hear the word of the Lord for you this morning. And not just hear it, but hear it. You know, it's a different thing to know scripture and to be able to quote chapter and verse. It's a completely different thing when that scripture drops from here to here. Where the Holy Spirit breathes life over it and it becomes life to your bones. It becomes the very thing that you hold on to, that you know is true. Even though everything else says it's true. Now, I didn't check how long it took from this promise till things changed. But I've been in situations myself where you hear the promise of God and it takes him another 3 years to do it. Okay, some of you have been there. It's sometimes a tough road. And here's the thing that my father normally does. You know, he doesn't speak in timelines. He says, I'm going to do this. And then I need to trust in him. And then he says, listen, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a new heart. a new passion, a new outlook on life. I'm going to change you from the inside out while I'm busy changing your circumstances. In actual fact, I'm going to use you to impact your circumstances and to change it. We cannot go back to the way things are. You know, this nation, they barely cross the sea. Miraculous opening. And then they're already saying, we want to go back to Egypt. They were slaves there. And sometimes, when we receive the promises of God, we long for what used to be. Because where we are now is not so nice. But allow God to change you from the inside. Have the patience to journey with Him, to receive everything that He has for you. Maybe your heart has become hard because of things that has happened. Hurt, I don't know, something. I'm thinking of a kelner. You know, it shipwrecked your faith. God is saying, allow me to take that heart and remove it this morning. That hard one. That one is like a rock. And allow me to change it. And as we sit here this morning, we all have life experiences. We've all prayed through stuff. We've trusted God. But you know what? His heart is still for us. He still wants to see us walk with that moldable heart. He's inviting you this morning to drop what you are carrying. To let go of the weight that is keeping you back. And to trust Him. To walk with Him. He wants to take you on a completely new journey. Completely new. Here's the thing about a new journey. It's new. You have never been there before. You have never seen the things that is coming before. If He wants to do something new, will I allow Him to be God in my life? Just simple. Just allow Him to do the new. Yes, but when it's new, we freak out. Because it's not the old or what I'm used to. So now we're hesitant in this journey. You know, I say the long journey starts with the first step. And we're scared to just step out. Because it's not familiar. It doesn't look like it's looked before. And I want to encourage you, it's okay. It's okay if it's not looking like it used to be. Maybe it's even better. Because He said, here's what I'm going to do. And I've seen in my life, when God does stuff, I've never felt comfortable if He said, follow me, I'm leading you there. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, all I can see is gemors. I mean, this is a disaster. I cannot see how this is good. Like when He said to me, sell the business and move to Stellenbosch. I went, cool. And for the first year, I didn't receive a salary. Now, when you look at that, I kind of had this expectation of what's going to happen. And you get to the other side, and it's everything except what you expected. But He said, here's what I'm going to do. Can I lead you on this new journey? This exciting journey. Now I'm going to work with you and mold you and shape you. It's fun. Not to your flesh. Still, I'm not okay after that journey. But it's an exciting journey that God wants to take us. And don't allow familiar. Don't allow the past. Don't allow the fact that you're in exile or in a terrible place that you've been taken captive to hinder you from starting this new journey. To allow Him to rip out this heart of rock and put in a heart of flesh. To do something new and fresh in your life. Allow Him to, you know, your outlook currently of life, allow Him to transform that. to change that. You see, but here's the thing. It's not going to change if my main source is not Him. If my main source is other things, my perspective will not change. You see, the other things will cap the well. That well will not be able to let the water flow. Let the Spirit do what He wants to do. He wants to give you a new spirit, which will produce different things, new actions, new stuff. It means I need to let go. You've heard that saying, let go and let God. It's a nice saying. Until you have to let Him be God. And when He's God, He doesn't do it your way or my way. Here's what I will do. So I want to pray that God will gather you from wherever you are this morning. Whatever went wrong in your life that has broken down your faith, that has hindered your faith, that has caused your faith to stagnate, to gather you. Because that's what He said He's going to do. He will gather you. Maybe in your spirit, or in your walk with God, you feel like you're scattered everywhere. You don't know who you are in Him anymore. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what must come. I want to pray that God gathers you. Put you together again, just like He gathered this nation. And then He will clean you. He will scrub you clean. Put some water and soap on you and scrub off that stuff that is hindering you and me from receiving. And then to take that new heart and put it in me. To change my very nature as I stand here, as I journey with Him. To change me. But because here's the thing. If I read Scripture, it says He is the same yesterday, today and tomorrow. Newsflash, He's not going to change. I must change. You know, when I change, when I come to that place and allow Him to remove that heart, my circumstances doesn't change that moment, but I change. And then through that transformation, my situation looks different. Everything that is ahead of me looks different. Why? Because I have hope. It's like boy meets girl. Before boy meets girl, he's all depressed because, he's not getting girl. Have you ever seen a boy who finds a girl? They are useless. They are mushy. Suddenly all the masculinity drains out of them. They become funny. Nah? Except Stephen. Come on, gents. Who of you did stuff to impress a woman that you never thought you'll do? Yes, yellow. It's come two faces. What is going on here? I mean, I wrote letters. I don't write. I wrote poems. It was something in the line of, like water is to a radiator, like oil is to an engine. But it was legit. And I wrote a poem. Still got that poem. I have to remind myself, hey dude, there's some other stuff in you that you don't see normally. Okay? I still like to impress her. Every now and then, the Holy Spirit stirs something in my heart to do something, and I'm like, ach, nee. I'm just going to look like a fool again. But I like it. So it's okay. Just as we change when we meet the one that we love, how our priorities change, how our lives change. It's the same when God changes our hearts. When He removes that heart of stone and He puts that heart of flesh back in there. You know, and he doesn't stop there. He says, I'm going to change your heart, but he says, I'm going to put my spirit within you. Now let that sink in. The creator of the universe, every expanse, every part of this place where we dwell in, which he created, by the way, just for us. The God who loves to show off, can I say? Because why would you create all that if it's just, if the world would have been enough? Then he makes you. He dreams about you. He's got plans for you, a future, regardless of where you find yourself, regardless of your past. He says, man, I am doing this. I'm going to change your heart and I'm going to give you my spirit. Like we saw on the SOS, a new operating system. We are receiving, you know, cell phones have operating systems. How many of yours update regularly? Maybe you should update regularly. Your operating system is a 1964 operating system. Okay, maybe it's not that bad. 2001 operating system. God wants to change you. God wants to change us for His glory. He wants to make it possible for you. You see, if he puts His Spirit within me, that unlocks the supernatural already. You see, our God is not limited to what goes on this earth. He wants to unlock so much more in our lives. He wants to take you and transform you. Not for your sake, but for His glory. He wants to use you for His glory. We sing glorify your name. It happens through us. When we are moaning and crying and sad and all the rest of it, does that glorify His name? And I'm saying don't be honest with Him. But when you're going through a tough time, let the river flow. Let Him change your heart. Let Him do something in your life. Isaiah 1 verse 18 to 19 says this. And I love it because the invitation comes. He says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us braai and have a conversation. Come, sit you on my lap. Let me and you talk. He says, the Lord, though your sins were like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red as like crimson, they shall become like wool. And then he says this, if you are willing and obedient. So when does it change? When I'm willing. When I am obedient. Then you shall eat the good of the land. Do you believe you can eat the good of the land where you are now? Right now? Just be willing and obedient. Just allow Him to work in your life. Don't let your past dictate your future. I always want to say, rather let it be compost for you to grow. Well, not really. That's not a good analogy. We have to be willing to receive the new. But we have to be willing to let go of the old. We have to be willing to let Him remove stuff from our hearts, our lives. We need to allow Him to do it. And then we must be willing to receive that Spirit, that new Spirit He wants to put in us. You see, our circumstances might not change. But we do. With God, all things are possible. You see, when we look at it, we say, how can you do this, Lord? But with Him, all things are possible. He wants to exchange your bad. He wants to take your bad and give you the new. That tender heart. The heart that will hope, that will feel alive, that will desire more. Not a heart that is stuck. A receptive heart that will receive His Spirit and His instructions. And He says, when I give you my Spirit, I will allow you, and that will help you to do what I command you. You see, we cannot obey just from our flesh. Our flesh is at war against the Spirit. But when we receive His Spirit, we can obey. He wants to give you a heart again to dream. To dream. Not just for yourself, but the generations. He wants to give you a heart to dream again. You see, you are not defeated. You are not done. It is not over. Just do this quickly. Okay, so you can breathe. That means you are alive. You are not done yet. What does He want to do through your life? Romans 7, verse 4 to 6 in the TPT reads this. And you know, Romans 7 is just before Romans 8. It's an incredible revelation. And Romans 8 speaks about us walking by the Spirit. And in Romans 7, Paul writes and he says, you know, the law that was there was the very thing that revealed sin to me, and, you know, is the thing that became me walking away from God. And then in verse 4 he says this, so my dear brothers and sisters, that's you, the same principle applies to your relationship with God. For you died to your first husband. In this portion he writes that while a woman is married, you know, she cannot see other men, but when her husband dies, she is free to pursue another man. Before that, it is adultery. And now he says this, he says, listen, you have died to your first husband, to the slavery of sin, to the law of your flesh. You have died to that. You have died to your first husband, the law, by being co-crucified with the body of the Messiah. So, you are now free to marry another, the one who was raised from the dead, so that you may now bear spiritual fruit for God. You see, you are free. Just bump someone. Just remind them. Say, you are free. Newsflash. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, you are no longer under bondage. You are free. If you received Him as your Lord and Savior, you are free to walk in everything that He has set apart for you and me to do. Now, just think about that quickly. What is hindering you from doing that? Your thoughts, your perception of yourself, your situation. What is, you know, the past? What is hindering you from bearing fruit for God? From obeying, from just letting go and letting Him do what He wants to do in your life. We continue with that portion. When we were merely living natural lives, the law, through defining sin, actually awakened sinful desires within us, which resulted in bearing the fruit of death. But now that we have been fully released from the power of the law, we are dead to what once controlled us. You are dead to what once controlled you. And our lives are no longer motivated by the absolute way of following the written code. So that now we may serve God by living in the fullness of the new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. By living in the fullness of the new life in the power of the Holy Spirit. As I serve God, the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit awakens stuff in me, allows me to walk in a way that I have not seen before. It's in that if I am willing and I obey. I can tell you, saints, you will see stuff in your life that you've never seen before. You think of yourself as this insignificant little person. But through you, the Holy Spirit wants to touch lives. You see, we serve a God that spoke stuff into existence. And you've heard this, but your words have a lot of power. If you say that I am rubbish, I am stupid, if I'm not, you know, I'm not worth anything, I cannot do this, then maybe you should be surprised, should not be surprised when that's the truth. But when you take the Word of God and you receive it through the Spirit of God and let Him breathe life into that which I'm saying, which I'm living, which I'm prophetically even speaking over my life, your life will transform. He's got so much more in store for us.